At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
You are looking live at VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, here is Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel.
Hour two of VSiN Prime Time. We're 49 hours away from the NFL draft. We are 2 hours away. Hold on. 3 hours away from JVT's beloved Los Angeles Clippers. Looking to take a massive 2-0 series lead. But we don't know the status of Kawhi Leonard. That's Jonathan Von Tobel. I'm Tim Murray. Coming up bottom of the hour, we will talk more NFL draft. Scott Smith, who once upon a time had, I believe, the most accurate mock draft. We will get to
Plum and Darren Waller getting divorced. No. Oh, okay.
That news?
Oh, yes, it is.
Big local news?
Yeah. I mean, not local news. I mean,
national news.
I'm not going to get in trouble.
All right. I want to play a game called What If. But before we get there.
Wait, what if?
Dot, dot, dot. There you of course. Go. But before we get there. Former number two overall pick, Robert Griffin III, once thought to be the savior of my Washington, then Redskins, put out a video today comparing a draft prospect.
There you go. Good job.
To a Dragon Ball Z character, and I immediately got confused and didn't understand. But not this guy right here. So please tell me what the hell RG3 was alluding to and why he was wrong.
You know, all those late nights when I was studying in school, it led up to this moment right here. So Robert Griffin III built a comp of Bo Nix and Android 16 from Dragon Ball Z. He said that both are misunderstood and judged after their first appearances. Change of scenery, finding their people made all the difference. Woke up the beast within them to become machine-like in their execution. Robert Griffin III has clearly never watched Dragon Ball Z. Android 16 inspired Gohan to push past his limits, become Super Saiyan 2, and beat Cell. In fact, Android 16 dies. He gets killed by Cell within a matter of 5 seconds when he pops into that fight. All right, now, his death inspires Gohan to snap and become the warrior that he ultimately can become. Now, we've watched Gohan for a really long time. He's only 12, doesn't want to fight, ultimately pushes past his limits and becomes a second version of a Super Saiyan. The real comp for Bo Nix, Britton, I believe we have this, in the Dragon Ball Z universe, if Robert Griffin III knew what he was talking about, is actually Krillin. Okay? This is the real comp. Krillin is the most powerful Earth warrior. He's not an alien like a Saiyan like Gohan is. But in a mix-up, if you need a powerful Earth warrior, all right, we'll use Krillin. That's fine. But he's nowhere near the strongest character in the universe. And never would you pick him to, I don't know, fight the biggest baddie in the world or start for your core, your franchise. Bo Nix is Krillin, not Android 16. Get it together, RG3.
I have no idea what just was said, but as long as that means he goes in the second round, works for me, JVT. Works for me. All right.
So you lift all them weights.
That was good. That was good. I feel like RG3 was trying to be cool, and JVT brought the hammer down.
And I know we grew up on opposite coasts, and we were like 6 years apart, something like that. But, boy, different lifestyles, huh?
Very, very different.
Never watched Dragon Ball Z?
Nope.
I don't even have an idea. Like, nothing. If I were to ask you the main character's name of Dragon Ball Z, Pikachu. You would have a shot.
No, it's Pokemon.
Come on now. Goku. Let's go. What are we doing? By the way, rest in peace, Kira Toriyama, creator of Dragon Ball Z, one of the most influential pieces of media out there, passed away a little less than a month ago.
Okay. Take that, RG3. Bad comparison.
And clearly, you're just trying to get some sort of internet points. You have no idea what you're talking about. Leave it for real experts.
What if, .. NFL draft version, what if, .. the Chargers or the Vikings don't trade up for a quarterback, JVT?
Chargers or the Vikings?
No, the Vikings. Because the common mocked trade is Vikings up to X, whether it's Arizona at 4, LA at 5, and that's why we've seen J.J. McCarthy's drafts position be over under 5.5. Right now, and we still have Thursday, right now the common belief is Bears, Caleb, Jaden, 2 to Washington. 3, I'm starting to buy more and more into Drake May in New England does not move out of number 3. And then you keep hearing different folks, NFL draft insiders, say the Vikings have been trying to get up to 3 to get Drake May, and it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. That's the latest. Now, who knows? Over the next 48 hours, we'll see. Arizona, there's a belief, I heard this mentioned by a couple people, that Minnesota and Arizona, there's a rumor that they have the arrangements of a trade in place, but it hasn't been executed yet. Because Arizona is going to wait until draft day, apparently. These are different reports that were out there. But what if Minnesota says, Drake May was our guy. We're going to wait. Mm-hmm. J.J. McCarthy can drop. What if? ..
Well, so there's a lot of like different little tentacles,
sure.
Right? You know. So I think one of the things is, I'll say this, and if we're going in that direction anyway, I don't think you get the top 4, like 1, 2, 3, 4. I think that's pretty clear, right? Like that's probably at the top of the list. If Minnesota doesn't trade with, you know, number 4 or 5, it's very clear, and I think it's very minimal anyway, but it's pretty clear that you're not going to get that smart GM's prediction of quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, 4. I think it's probably the primary thing right there. I would also say, because as we get conflicting reports, which is hilarious as usual, for like 2 months, J.J. McCarthy was their guy, and now all of a sudden it might be Drake May. Like, I think there's just more of a reality than not that J.J. McCarthy, at the very least, slips out of the top 5. I think that's more probable by the day. As we get, I don't even know if we get clarity, but it seems like that's going to be likely. But pretty sure Minnesota is not trading in there anyway.
So you have it part of your portfolio. I took a little piece last night at plus 125 because I came back to what you and Drew Dinsick talked about on this show, and Drew mentioned it on Gil's podcast as well, which was a great breakdown. So check that out wherever you get your podcasts. You're betting on a trade. Like you need to have a trade happen. If what is being reported is true, we'll see, that it's Caleb 1, that's a foregone conclusion, mm-hmm. Jaden 2, which seems it's trending that way. Even Daniel Jeremiah, who had Drake May mocked at 2, has flipped to Jaden Daniels. 3, starting to feel like Drake May is going to go 3 to New England. We'll see what happens. You need that number 5 pick to be the landing spot unless Arizona trades out.
And gives up, by the way, and gives up on a wide receiver that they reportedly love.
Right. And they would trade back to 11 where they would get none of the wide receivers that are available. So if you're Arizona, you've gone in on Kyler Murray, and now you're saying, there's a generational wide receiver here, but you know we get 11 and 23. Mm-hmm. Yes, you could have the parameters to trade back in, which is what they did last year. So that leads me into my second what if.
Follow up really quick, though? So what you're talking about is accurate, right? Which is like, I don't want to make bets based on trades that haven't happened yet.
Right.
I'd also argue that the premise of that trade, Minnesota trading up to go and get a quarterback, is also based off the false premise that they acquired the second first round pick to do that, right? That's what everybody thought. It was like, oh, they went out and got this. Like, they went to go get the second first round pick so they could trade up to get the quarterback. When the reality is, as we have learned, the Texans were the ones who initiated those conversations. So, like, even the start of the premise, which is Vikings have two first round picks so they can go up and trade, the reason they got those two first round picks were not to move up. So I think you're starting already from a flawed premise. And then to make a bet based off of that, that's where you kind of get a little bit even wonkier, in my opinion.
So that brings me to my second what if, because at number five, it is believed the Chargers want out. Back it out. Beep, beep, beep. What if they stay pat at five? What if the Minnesota Vikings are good at 11? The Raiders don't have enough to get up to number five? And the Broncos don't have enough to get up to five if that's the quarterback that they want. So what do they do? Do they go tackle? Do they go wide receiver? What if Marvin Harrison Jr. more than likely is gone? They could get Malik Nabers. They go Roma Dunze. What do they do at five?
What if they trade up to three? You get Marvin Harrison Jr.
So you think that the New England Patriots trade out of three to five?
Sure. And then draft Joe Walt.
Okay.
I mean, it makes sense. Logically, I think it would make some sense, right? The Patriots, they don't want to select at three. There's some indications that that's the case. They're a roster that is devoid of talent and needs it almost every single place, right? And you have a team in the Los Angeles Chargers that does need a wide receiver. I think we all know that. They need offensive alignment. They also need a wide receiver. The price to move from five to three is not going to be as expensive as a move from 11 up to three or four. What happens if you leap the team in front of you that wants that generational wide receiver that your team, by the way, you watched as a head coach destroy a lot of different teams in the conference that you played in, and go and get him, and then, of course, the Patriots sit there at five and draft the first offensive lineman, which could be Joe Alt, which could be somebody else.
Yeah, I'm not, even though Joe Alt isn't the first offensive lineman selected, minus 700, do we get a curveball? We got some breaking news.
We do.
Congratulations to Tyrese Maxey, your most improved player. Thoughts, Mr. Von Tobel?
Should have won it 2 years ago when I had him at 175-1 to win it. That's about it. Bitter. No, look, Tyrese Maxey's awesome. He's become, obviously, a I don't even know how to say it, like a star in the league and a cornerstone of a franchise that looks like they're going to rely on him more and more as Joel Embiid, of course, continues to deal with knee injuries. But again, I'd go back to, he made a massive leap from year one to year two. You should be considered for awards there. But I'm not going to gripe too much about it. He's improved quite a bit. He's become a star. Deserves to win the award.
Three games on the NBA docket tonight. First one coming up at the bottom of the hour. Do the Phoenix Suns get on the board after a 25-point loss to the T-Wolves over the weekend? We'll break down the three NBA games tonight. Come on back. It's VSiN Primetime.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
is VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN.com/splits, folks. Opt in and you can get 2 weeks of free betting splits access. That's right. If you like to use the betting splits as part of your handicap every single day, well, you can get access to it for free. Check it out now, VSiN.com/splits. And when you mosey on over there, you can find that 52% of the handle, but 46% of the bets are on the Phoenix Suns taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves today. Check it out now. Handsome Devil up on TNT just gave away an under on that game. How about that?
By the way, I mean, the multitasking we do during the commercial break, boom, we're there on TNT. Totally didn't record that on Friday. Suns, T-Wolves coming up in 15 minutes, probably more like 25 minutes. As we sit here right now, look like a 2.5 showed up for a moment, and that got scooped up. So we're looking at 3 consensus for the Minnesota Timberwolves against the Phoenix Suns. So these two teams played over the weekend, JVT, and it was a whooping put down by the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now the line sits at 3. Looking back to that game, which my computer is not working, so I don't have what the line was.
They were about 1.5, 2-point favorites.
So we've seen a little bit of an adjustment, right, with Minnesota winning by 25 in game 1. What did you make this number? I know it's not a best bet for you, but I'm curious, even though you did just tell the world to take the under. What did you make Phoenix and Minnesota?
Totally selection not made before game 1. Look, I think that, again, we'll go back to, and I know it's ad nauseum, but I think it's worth just pointing out that teams deserve to be more respected at home. So let's again roll with the premise that, let's say I'm wrong, Steve Mackinnon, again, it's not like we're head-to-head, but let's say Steve Mackinnon's right, there should be more like 3 points for home court. Do you believe as a bettor that these two teams are equals with one another? I personally believe that the Timberwolves rate as a better team. I think that they are a good defensive team. I think they are a team that a lot of people got a little hot and heavy about a regular season series that was only 3 games, 2 of which were played in Phoenix, 2 of which the Phoenix Suns shot over 55% from 3, which I'm going to go on a limb and say probably is not unsustainable, and that the Suns do have some issues in a series like this against a team that has the depth in the front court that the Minnesota Timberwolves have. And the Suns are really searching for answers as to what to do with their backup center position, Tim. They have no idea how to handle the non-use of Nurkic minutes. They roll out, you know, a Kevin Durant at the 5 lineup. It's not particularly effective. And what you saw, which I really liked, and this is the big thing, what do you get from Karl Anthony Towns? Because Karl Anthony Towns was awesome in game 1. He was posting guys up. He was getting aggressive. He was getting foul calls. We know that Karl Anthony Towns has been inconsistent from game to game. But at the end of the day, you know, at one point in the regular season, the Minnesota Timberwolves were arguably like the 2nd to 3rd highest power rated team in the league. And yet here they are, a pick on their home floor, or not a pick, a pick on a neutral rated by the market, -3 on their home floor, against a Phoenix Suns team that was the 5th worst cover team in the NBA and overrated by the market. I just think that Minnesota is deserving a little bit more. Now, the edge by where I had it to where it's at right now, I don't think it's enough to play it. But for me, it would be Minnesota or past him. As somebody, too, who's got, you know, ticket on them to win the Western Conference, who believes that they're a little bit undervalued here, I'll be pulling for Minnesota. I think they are the side, and I think we're just kind of forgetting how dominant this team can be defensively and how good they have an individual player, as we saw when he was talking his ish to Kevin Durant in game 1 and Anthony Edwards.
He was. By the way, Anthony Edwards, 25.5 is his over-under at DraftKings, -130 to the over. Devin Booker, 24.5. Tonight, Kevin Durant, 26.5. Rudy Gobert, for a points perspective, is sitting at 13.5. And Karl Anthony Towns, 18.5. Anyone after you, we look back at game 1 and looking at the stars, so to speak. KD went for 31. Bradley Beal, 15, if you want to include him in that star range. Devin Booker, 18.
Do you think we get anti-Washington sentiment right there?
Do you think we get a bounce back performance from Devin Booker, 18 points, 5 of 16 from the field on Saturday, just 2 of 6 from 3.
I mean, I think you get a bounce back in the sense that we know that Devin Booker is better than that, right? But I think that when you look at the way that Minnesota can defend, when you have multiple defenders that, like if you're Devin Booker and you see that starting lineup of Mike Conley, Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Rudy Gobert, who are you picking on as the mismatch, right? Who are you bringing over to constantly go after in a pick and roll or whatever it is, or go in isolation settings? You're probably going to go after Mike Conley a little bit because you give up some size, or he gives up some size to you, but Conley's still a pretty sound defender. So I think he bounces back just in the thought of like, yeah, Devin Booker's just better than what we saw. But I still think that how Minnesota defends and what they showed in that game one is something that still translates to a game two, to a game three, throughout the course of a series, and that ultimately that, you know, they're a little underrated. But I think naturally you expect that. And I'd also say this too, Kevin Durant looked like he was going to like single-handedly bring the Phoenix Suns, you know, off of the rink and win this game. He really stopped taking shots at the end of that game, like third quarter, fourth. You do wonder if even for a guy that had 17 shot attempts in that game, I mean, I think that number, that should go up. That should be like 25 shot attempts. If the Suns are going to win this series, if they're going to win this game, I'd be looking at, like, if you like Phoenix, I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. I think you're betting Kevin Durant, like, overs, because he needs to have more shot attempts. And the other thing, too, is this is the big sticking
26
point.
26 and a half, by the way, yep. Plus 105 to the over.
I think those are really correlated. But the other part, too, Tim, is like, they made three fewer three-point attempts and took four fewer three-point attempts than the Minnesota Timberwolves. You, as a team, one of the big sticking points for the Phoenix Suns since they've kind of put this thing together, and it goes back to the Chris Paul years, they just weren't a team that took a high volume amount of three-point shots. They lived in the mid-range. And so when you take on another squad that is going to take more threes and make more threes, you're already at a mathematical disadvantage over the course of a series. Like, you've got to ratchet up the way that you take these three-point shots. So again, you're probably going to shoot better. Is Eric Gordon going to go 0-4 from three-point range? You might. I watched a lot of bad Clippers playoff games. But like, you look at some other guys like a Grayson Allen and others, it's probably not going to be the case. But that's another big discrepancy. Are the Suns going to be able to match what Minnesota wants to do from beyond the arc? And I just don't know if that's going to be the case. Might not manifest here, but I think over the course of the series, and thus I still think that going on a limb as they are minus 155 favorites, that Minnesota wins this series.
By the way, I just want to point out on TNT, you know, during the commercial break, you said you like the under, and you're sharp because that's the way the market has moved on this game. So,
dude, the totals, that's like an under, this is on me, but the totals for these games since the playoffs started, it's insane how low. You know, game three for Orlando Cleveland's 198.5.
We haven't. This is the late 90s?
Dude, it's nuts how much we've adjusted from like the start of the play-ins to all the way up to this point right now. It's wild because the pace is so slow. The defense is more intense.
Under's 3-0, by the way, yesterday.
Yep. And so now we're at 9-2 to the under throughout the postseason so far.
Evan Abrams tweeting this out. NBA playoffs have been all unders so far. Full game unders, 13-4, won 8 straight. First half unders, 14-2-1, 7 straight in the play-in and first round over the last 3 seasons. Yep. The first half under is 73-37-3. That is covering at a 66% rate.
Yes. Now, we should also point out, as we mentioned, though, we have adjusted.
Yes.
So, like, you don't want to just go in and blindly bet these things. A good example is actually the game we're going to see later tonight. Indiana and Milwaukee. We are down to 223.5. The opening total for game one was 236.5.
Wow.
So think about that adjustment from where you were just from the opening total of game one. That thing got bet down, still went under. Now you open this thing back up, and it still gets bet down.
And it's getting bet down. Yeah.
Yep, from 226.5 to 223.5. So again, those trends, this is such a good example. Yeah, and we'll have another trend that I think is foolish we could talk about later in the show. But like, this is one where you don't just blindly bet these things. These things are adjusted. Where we've come from the opening total of game one to where we're at now. By the way, from where we were at in the regular season, remember that these two teams, the average total in the regular season,
oh my gosh,
was 258.5, and we're at 223.5 tonight. It's so crazy.
Yeah, it is. Let me ask you this, though, because you have bet the Bucks. You were on the Bucks. You took them at a pick, money lines -115, -1, whatever you want to do. In your eyes, we watch game one. It goes under. The pace is slowed down. Milwaukee wants it to be slowed down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has this gone too far in your eyes? Or do you still think this is a, not a bet that you have, but an under feel based off of no Giannis, them kind of looking to play a little bit more in the half court?
No, I don't think so, only because, like, I think that this is one where this is a little correlated to side, right? Like, so Indiana is a team that wants to run with pace. And by the way, they did in game one. Let me get the exact number for you. 44% of the Pacers' live ball rebounds led to a transition play. So they were trying to run. Like, almost half the rebounds led to a transition play. They were trying to get out there. So they were trying to push their pace, and they ultimately still lost the game by double digits. So that's why I say, like, I think that this is heavily correlated to the side. The market still thinks that the Pacers are the better team, right? There's some hesitancy to really believe in Milwaukee. So you're still seeing that float around 223.5. If you're somebody like me that believes that the improvements that we've seen from Milwaukee are real defensively in transition, that they're going to play their style, I still think that lends itself a little bit more to an under for the Bucks as somebody who thinks the Bucks are the side, if that makes sense.
People like playing first period unders in the postseason in hockey. Not the case in New York, as the Rangers just scored to tie the game against the Capitals 1-1. So with 12 minutes to go in the first period over has cashed in the Capitals and Rangers. So that is now 1-1. NFL draft is 2 days away. Scott Smith, one of the best mock drafters out there, he'll join us next here on VSiN Prime.
This is VSiN Prime Time with Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sorry, I got distracted, because I was on VSiN.com checking out all of the great information that's up there. We've got, of course, best bets for the incoming slate of NBA action set to tip off in mere moments. UFC Vegas 91 selections from Lou Finocchiaro and the Zurich Classic of New Orleans best bets from, yeah, you know it, Wes Reynolds. Check it all out now, VSiN.com.
That's Jonathan Von Tobel. I am Tim Murray. Coming up momentarily, the start, well, probably 10 minutes from now because it'll be pushed back. But Phoenix and Minnesota, your last look at the line. Minnesota laying 3 with a total of 211.5. Later on this evening, more thoughts courtesy of JVT on Indiana, Milwaukee, Dallas, and the Clippers. But 2 days from today, we will be less than an hour away from the Chicago Bears selecting Caleb Williams. And then after that, the fun begins. Scott Smith, at Scott Smith FF on Twitter. You can check out all his work, 4for4 football, 4for4.com. He joins us right now on our Progressive Guest Line. You're located down there in New Orleans / Baton Rouge. Jaden Daniels, of course, winning the Heisman Trophy. Scott for the LSU Tigers. And, you know, it was a roller coaster for the odds market. Got as high as minus 350, crashed on Friday, became a pick'em, who would be the number 2 pick, and it has now risen back up to, I believe, around minus 350 or so. What have you been able to unearth regarding Jaden Daniels and the possibility of him landing at number 2 to Washington?
Yeah, I've been on top of this for the last 3 to 4 weeks, but specifically here over the last 3 hours, multiple sources that I have connected, some of which are very close with his family as well. The reports are that he has fully expected to be drafted by Washington. There are some late things going on behind the scenes with both Minnesota and Las Vegas giving offers to Washington, trying aggressively to move up. And from my understanding, those offers have been rebuffed by Washington. And as of right now, Jaden Daniel and the people around him in his camp fully expect him to be drafted by Washington, with Minnesota being the most active team who is trying in this late hour to go ahead and move up and make something happen.
So quick couple follow-ups. First up, I would assume Las Vegas is also doing it in order to acquire Daniels as well?
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, Las Vegas is absolutely Jaden Daniels' first preference, although they are very happy to go to Minnesota. And his camp and actually members of his family member and team think that he could be Rookie of the Year if he lands in Minnesota.
So the reason why I ask is because, right, a lot of what we've heard, Las Vegas aside, is that, hey, the Vikings, they got 2 first-round picks to go get J.J. McCarthy. So if it's true, it's Jaden Daniels as number 2, the Vikings guy is off the board, what happens with the thought of J.J. McCarthy going inside of the top 5, the Vikings trading up to go and get him? What do the Vikings then do you think?
I think the Vikings are very active in this market, and I think they're going to come away with a quarterback. I think it will be in that top 5. We like the under 5.5. That's been the line for the last few weeks. Specifically, I think the Minnesota is just in a situation where they cannot come out of this draft without a quarterback, and I don't think that they are going to be here this close to go ahead and grab one. And look, you've got a lot of people within the evaluation industry that still have high grades on J.J. McCarthy. A lot of us here, fans, and some other people just didn't expect him to go this high. And some people have him still as a first-round talent and first-round grade just lower on. But I think with as aggressive and as many teams that need quarterback, I think he's still going to be drafted there in the top five.
Scott Smith joining us here on VSiN Primetime, 444.com. You can catch his read his latest mock draft, and you can follow him on Twitter at ScottSmithFF. You mentioned LSU and your connections down there in that area. Malik Nabers was the go-to wide receiver for Jaden Daniels. He is thought to be the number two wide receiver to go off the board. A couple whispers. I wouldn't say anything concrete, but there's a belief that maybe Arizona sniffing around a little bit. What's the latest on Malik Nabers that you're hearing, and where could he ultimately land on Thursday?
So my sources here around the area and close to Malik Nabers seem to think that he is going to land in one of two spaces, and that's either going to be Arizona or New York. New York is heavily invested, but specifically Arizona has been doing a lot of homework and doing background checks here around the local area and whatnot. So I think there is a little bit of smoke there. There are rumors that Arizona is one of the teams that could be talked about as preferring Nabers over Marvin Harrison Jr. So I don't put it out. I haven't been able to absolutely confirm that to where I'm comfortable putting that out. But I do think that he is definitely in play for Arizona there should they stay at four, or should they attempt to move back and trade back up.
What would that mean for Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Look, I don't think Marvin Harrison Jr. in any way, shape, or form falls past five. I think he is fully locked in to either go four or five. I do not see a situation where I can see him moving past five. You've heard a lot of information about the Chargers being invested in possibly getting an offensive lineman. Even if Arizona does come off of that number four pick, I would basically think that they're going to try aggressively to move back up and land Nabers if they can.
Scott Smith joining us here on VSiN Primetime. Scott, JVT was giving me some grief because as soon as I put out my mock draft, I immediately wanted to make changes. I haven't done it yet, but I will. You put out your mock draft 4 days ago. So right now, or your latest mock, I should say, had Latu as the first defensive player selected. Do you still believe that to be the case when it comes to the defensive player market?
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable with him. I think he's sitting around minus 200 right now as either the first player off the board or first defensive player off the board, somewhere in that range. And look, I think he is heavily there with Atlanta. I think Atlanta is there's multiple scenarios, whether it be there at eight or if they trade back slightly, I think he is going to be their target. You've had some recent news coming up with Byron Murphy kind of steaming up boards and people saying that he's going to be a top 10 pick. But you also have a lot of the same stuff going on with Brock Bowers. So it's hard to kind of slot all of these guys into the top 10. So I think unless there's a situation where Atlanta goes ahead and trades out and all three wide receivers come off the board, that would kind of leave Jared Burst there at Chicago with a little bit of outside steam to be the first defensive player off the board. But those two players would be my guess.
Wait, I'm confused because I read a report that Michael Penix Jr. is in play at number eight.
Yeah, Atlanta's not going to go that high, and I don't think anybody else is. And you just look back on the draft previous. We've had Hendon Hooker. We've had Malik Willis. So these guys get steamed up and end up in a second and third round.
So really quickly on that, it seems that we've kind of finally found some sanity in that a quarterback that Tim cannot mention, Bo Nix, is not going to be a first-round selection. But the jury seems to still be out on Penix. Do you expect him to be a first-round selection?
I don't see Penix being a first round selection there. There's some things that kind of, I just don't think he goes that high there to 13. I would lean more in favor of Denver trading back into the back half of the first round and maybe, you know, getting Nix after they trade back. But look, as of right now, there's been a lot of smoke with Penix there to the Raiders, and it's so loud, it's almost like the Raiders want everybody to think that. And so I think just with the other talent there, and especially the needs along the offensive line and maybe even in the secondary for the Raiders, I don't see them drafting Penix at 13.
Look, I know it's a new front office, and you know, JVT, you do local radio from time to time here in town, but last year this whole same thing happened. Oh, Hendon Hooker, he's number two on their board at quarterback.
Even I heard it. I don't have connections.
Right. I mean, it's like, all right. Yeah, and he ultimately went third. Now, I know it's a new front office now, but yeah, I it is funny that, you know, it is just in your face that it is going to be, Michael Penix Jr. there at 13. I'm going to steal a question that JVT asked earlier in the show, Scott, is right now, as we look at this board, maybe removing ourselves from the quarterback discussion, what would you say you're feeling most confident in that will occur in the first round come Thursday?
Look, I think you really start to look at the offensive line overs and specifically SEC overs. I feel comfortable with both of those. I think the offensive linemen are going to heavily go. And specifically when you start looking at bubble players, I want to say the line sitting around 9.5 for SEC yep. players. All of the bubble players are really right there coming out of the SEC, whether that be a Darius Robinson, whether it be a Ladd McConkey, you know, some guys like that. So those are two lines I'm comfortable kind of taking a stab at. I don't know that the numbers are specifically, you know, you might have to pay a little bit of juice on them, but those are two things that I feel comfortable with. And then, you know, one player that's really kind of concerned me throughout this draft process that I'm not really too comfortable with is Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. I think that he's not long for the NFL with his body size and type. Now, he did play a lot of man, which kind of leads in his favor, but a lot of the traits that you're looking at from a size and even an arm length perspective aren't there for him. So I actually like him over 26.5.
Love it. Absolutely love it. All right, really quickly, we've got our last minute here. Overall, what suffers more position-wise, wide receivers or maybe corners? What's the position that's left holding the short end of the stick in terms of the total that goes in the first round?
Yeah, I think it's actually going to be the corner. Like I just talked about Nate Wiggins maybe falling out. I think both of the Alabama guys and, you know, specifically Quinyon Mitchell, I think they're solid. The other issue that you really have when you start talking about the guy from Iowa,
Cooper DeJean,
you know, how are teams going to view them? And I think a lot of teams are going to end up viewing him as a safety. So I think that really pushes everything down a little bit as well.
Scott, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. I know you're working the phone, so we appreciate you jumping on the show.
All right. Thank y'all, guys. Appreciate y'all having me.
There he is. Scott Smith. Follow him on Twitter, at Scott Smith, FF, 4 for 4 football. Accurate mock draft.
That's a good term. You should stick with
mockurate.
Stumbled into something.
Yeah, I think I stumbled is the right word. Speaking of which, my Capitals are down 2-1. What a shock. That's JVT. I'm Tim Murray. It is VSiN Primetime.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Is VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, from the play-in tournament through the finals. DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code VSIN when you sign up. If you're a new customer, you can bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That is code VSIN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, I am Tim Murray. It is VSIN Primetime. We're live here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Underway in Minnesota, Timberwolves and Suns. Scoreless. It's going to be an under. You said that on national television.
See, there's a smart guy that was all over that on the TNT broadcast.
50 seconds in, this game is a dead under, scoreless between Phoenix
and 2-0
Minnesota. The Rangers up 2-1 right now on the Washington Capitals. Caps had a 1-0 lead, so we had that going for us, which was nice. And then later tonight, JVT's beloved Nashville Predators will take the ice. A huge game, trying to bounce back after losing to the Vancouver Canucks. Also underway, early first period, Tampa and Florida. Colorado, Winnipeg will get started later on this evening, 9:30 Eastern start time there, north of the border.
You still, want the latest?
Oh, still scoreless, JVT.
Yep.
Yes, what's the latest?
You want the latest?
Yes.
Adrian Wojnarowski.
What did he say? What do you got for us?
ESPN sources with Om Young Masuk, who covers the Los Angeles Clippers. Clippers star Kawhi Leonard will go through his normal warm-up routine for Game 2 versus Dallas, and his availability has now become a game-time decision. He followed that up with a quote tweet, saying that after missing 9 straight games with right knee inflammation, Kawhi Leonard is on the cusp of his debut in these Western Conference playoffs.
Mm.
Love being on the cusp.
What do you take from that? Anything?
What do you think he means by that? I think that means that we're getting close to Kawhi playing, but I echo the sentiments of Mo DeKeel, who works for The Athletic. It was with us earlier today. I will believe it when I see it. So just we'll use the term that the Clippers used before game one. Cautious optimism. Despite my many tweets of, you know, prayers and whatnot going up there.
Minnesota up 5-0. Game over. Phoenix is not going to score. Shutout. Let's circle back. I do want to run through. It is, we were just talking to Brian Rogers, our EP here at VSiN, and just at this point, what can you believe? So many conflicting reports that are just kind of being thrown out there. Can you grab different pieces and can it help you bet? So I do want to run through some of the insider reporting that was out there for the NFL draft. Make of it what you will. We'll do that in the third hour of the show. Sam Munson will also join us coming up top of the hour. But let's circle back, JVT. 8:30 Eastern start in Milwaukee. The Bucks right now sitting as a 1-point favorite. Circa has gone to 1.5. Sharp card. Total sitting at 223.5. You are on the Milwaukee Bucks. Why?
Yeah. The main premise here is that you deserve more credit at home. That's the starting point of this process. If you adjust or if you evaluate the market and you extrapolate market power ratings from where all of these teams are rated by the market, if you use 3 points, 4 points for home court advantage, and you put all these teams out with the way the market evaluates them, it comes out as the Bucks being tied with Orlando as the lowest power rated team in the NBA right now. I don't believe that. I don't believe that to be the case. I understand that Giannis Antetokounmpo is not playing, but the Bucks are better without Giannis Antetokounmpo than what the market believes that they are to be right now. I mean, you could put it pretty simply too, Tim. You've got a team that is currently 100, and this is a very, very generic way to do it, but let's tell me if this makes any sense.
Okay.
You have a team that's 150-1 to win the NBA Finals right now. That's just catching a point on the road against an opponent. Like, that's right. Like, to me, if you're looking at that and you think that jives, that Milwaukee is worse than that team, then I guess you go ahead and you bet the Indiana Pacers. But from a pure number standpoint, I can't ignore Milwaukee. And this is kind of the faux way of doing it, right? When it comes to, like, if you're, let's say that you were somebody who thought that the series price was too short by the time we got to it. We talked about this on Follow the Money on Friday. Mm-hmm. I took a little piece of the Bucks at even money to win the series against the Indiana Pacers, right? The other way of supporting a team in a playoff series without betting the series price is something that I'm kind of doing here, which is just bet them every game. Until the market adjusts to a power rating that you see fit, you can kind of follow them along the way, and you can do that. And it's not exact science here, so, you know, Twitter, sharp people don't come for me here, but this is just, we're spitballing. It's almost similar to the rolling, you know, people say the rolling parlay, right? The money line parlay, because, mm-hmm. you know, the benefit is that you can get out. When the going gets tough or if there's an injury, you can get out. It's similar here where if you're right and the Bucks, you know, win and cover, you can get out at a point where the market has adjusted enough by your own measure. So I think right now it's just a point for me. It's, you know, it's stubborn, but you can kind of get stubborn in these situations. I think the market's too low, and I think that Milwaukee can do things here. You know, we get so low on teams that we forget there's positives about them, right, in our collective
thoughts. Doc Rivers stinks.
Right. That's a good example. Doc Rivers sucks. The Bucks were terrible. They were one game under 500 with him. He also improved their defensive rating in transition by over 5 points.
Ah!
Right.
Stinks.
You know? So there's like these little things where, like, I understood. I even wrote about it in the preview for game one, which was like, I understand how we're here. I totally understand how we've gotten to this point. I just stopped walking in that direction a long time ago, and everybody else kept walking. So I just think the Bucks are a little undervalued here, man. So let's roll with Milwaukee.
So we did a bit of this exercise yesterday, looking at the adjusted series prices after the weekend where one game had been played in every single series. Now, obviously, we've had three series that have had two games, and Timberwolves series is underway here. T-Wolves taking on the Suns. But let's look at the adjusted series prices as we sit. I think we can quickly glance over Milwaukee, Indiana, as it sits minus 225, Milwaukee, Indiana, plus 190. You have a pre-flop position on the Bucks at even money. You gave that on a follow the money on Friday. Anything you do here with either side, being that you like the Bucks, I would think it would be Bucks or pass.
Yes. Like that's the option here, right? Which is, as somebody who thinks, again, not only am I on the Bucks here to win this game today, which, if I'm right, we're talking about a pretty big series price going into game three, but also that believes the Bucks are being undervalued, even with the adjusted series price in a game of pocket, it would just be Bucks or nothing here at minus 225. I mean, think about this too. And it was funny because I don't know why the market opened up minus 350 on the series price when we knew that Giannis wasn't going to play. You kind of knew that, right? Like Damian Lillard told us, it's a two-week thing, guys. And you kind of understood he wasn't going to be there at the beginning of the series. You're still laying a shorter price with a game in pocket than you were like around the time where this opened up and all the way through, right? You know what I mean? Like you're still laying minus 225. I think we're still a little too low on what Milwaukee can do. If you think that they are short in terms of their life in the postseason as a whole, understandable, right? Especially in the next round against whoever they're going to play. But I just think for this series, we're putting a lot of stock into a team that hasn't been here before. You know, Tyrese Halliburton has not been here before. The makeup of this team as a whole, you know, Miles Turner's played in some playoff series, but for the most part, this core has not done this. And so I think that we're really over-evaluating, whatever the term would be. The shortcomings.
Our English is spot on tonight, by the way.
Good thing we don't speak for a living.
We're crushing it.
You know, we're just doing too much here, essentially, with the shortcomings of Milwaukee. The other team has flaws as well.
Dallas plus 135, Clippers minus 160. Stay away with Kawhi?
Yeah, you just don't know at this point, right? Like, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Now, as somebody, again, who I want to be very clear, if Kawhi does not play today, I still think that the Clippers are very live, especially if we bounce all the way back to three. You can, I guess, have a conversation about the mental devastation of Kawhi not playing. But I'll say this. You know, a sneaky little thing got reported the other day with this series. It was reported after game one, Tim, that the Clippers were told at the beginning of the week that Kawhi wasn't going to play.
Hmm.
And yet, like, all week long, you heard, like, hey, cautious optimism. The Clippers players know what's going to happen today. They know whether or not Kawhi is going to play, right? They know what's going to transpire. So if anybody wants to make the case, like, hey, if he's ruled out, this is going to be pretty devastating for the team, I would say that they know what's going to happen, whether he plays or not today. So I don't think you have to worry too much about that. It's just more about where the market goes, whether or not he plays. And again, much like Jaden Daniels, all signs would point to Kawhi Leonard making his debut in the playoffs today.
Other series prices as we sit here we can quickly glance over. Pelicans back at it tomorrow, lose game one. They're now 7-1 against the Thunder at minus 1,200. Anything here?
No, I think you could probably, this is one I haven't done my deep dive in yet, so I want to sit back and do a little bit more tonight, tomorrow, and get into it. But I would say that one of the things that's going to be really interesting in this series, and this is more of a player prop angle than anything else, is the personnel for Oklahoma City. And we will go to the box score for game one, Tim. And the thing that sticks out is there is a starter for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Everybody else played about 32 minutes or more. One starter didn't, Josh Giddey. And I don't know if Josh Giddey is going to be a playable piece here for Oklahoma City. He's not really an accurate shooter. He's a guy that you can stash your centers on defensively and play off of and not really have a threat to space the floor. And when you look at guys that can come off the bench, including one of their young pieces here in Cason Wallace, I think you might start to see that dynamic shift. You remember the finals last year where the market didn't really register? Kyle Lowry was like, oh, like his minutes were like going up and he was playing a lot, but the market didn't really adjust there. I think it might be one to look at with Cason Wallace and Josh Giddey.
Keep an eye on Josh Giddey. We'll talk more Lakers. Can they come back? Sixers against the Knicks. We'll do that a little bit later. But top of the hour, Sam Munson from Pro Football Focus as we continue our deep dive on the NFL draft. 2 days away, it is VSiN Primetime.
Hey.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.